for us this morning. Got a lot of scriptures. A lot of not just single quoted ones either. I think today there's several that are more like a passage that we're going to look at and kind of see. So I want you to see the beginning and the end. Some of it is words of Jesus himself and just things that he said in relation to our topic for today are things we're going to talk about. Today at the Oasis, getting that sound guy. Today at the Oasis, we're going to do, the title of it is called Captivating Your Thoughts. And so pretty simple to think about, what is that going to be about? It's about corralling, you know, the wandering of the mind, all the things that go on in there. Some of it can be for good. You know, you're thinking things through and, you know, God has given us a mind and creativity and imagination. He gave us all these things. So some is really good stuff. And then there's other things where maybe it's straying into things that we ought not, you know, things that are, maybe it's just kind of mindless stuff or busyness of the mind, and some of you toss and turn at night a lot, or those kind of things, and the busyness of the mind. So I want to talk about captivating your thoughts. But let's open up in prayer. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. We're grateful to be here as children among you, Father, with you and you in us, Lord. And I just pray that as we talk about captivating our thoughts this morning, Lord, that it will inspire us and encourage us and give us your instruction from your word then, Lord, on how to captivate our thoughts, to bring them into the subjection of Christ, to bring our body under subjection and our mind and our will and our emotions, to gather them and focus them on you and you alone, Father, as we go through this life. Your word is pretty clear on this, Lord. We thank you for offering it to us and giving it to us, and I pray then that it is entreated into our life, Lord. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, last couple weeks, we've been talking about different things, and in part, I'll use that to lead into this, but we've been talking about having Christ within us, right? And I remind myself of this a lot. There's a lot of sicknesses going around. There's a lot of things, and I think, you know what? Christ is in me, and Christ was never sick. And so Christ in me, you know, when I think of that stuff trying to come against, and you guys know what I'm talking, sickness will try to come against you, and I just remind myself, and I remind the devil, that Christ is in me, amen? Christ is in me, and so we have that. So we have that, and we know that having him in us, we have all the power of God, and all the power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. So all the power that we need for success as a Christian lives in us. He has given us all things to pertain unto life and godliness. I think we use that scripture. Last week, we talked about some of the things, not all, because he's done a lot, we talked about some of the things that Christ did for us on our behalf, things that he did that we could not do. He was that unblemished Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. He is the absolute focal point of our existence. I mean, really, as a Christian, we could not be a Christian apart from him. He is the vine, and we are the branches branching out from him. I'm going to use that expression more and more. You know, the question arises as why some Christians may not be producing as much fruit. If he is the vine, we are the branches, and there's this fruit going out, and we're producing this fruit, why is it that some Christians produce more fruit than others? They have this nice fruit that grows, and other people can pluck from that and eat it. Okay, it's like this edible fruit is being produced. I've got to give Margie some credit for that actual thought that I just had on that about the producing of fruit. Why is it some Christians produce more fruit than others? We had that discussion about a week ago. Well, other Christians, though, it seems like are still just kind of going through the motions of Christianity. It's like they're a branch hanging out there, but there's no fruit being produced. Okay, so why is that? What does that come from? Then you'll meet another believer that's flourishing. I mean, they're just talking about Jesus, and life is good, and they're just going on, and this fruit is being produced through their life, the fruits of the Spirit. We got love and joy and peace and gentleness and patience. All these things, you see them evident in their life. When they walk into the room, you feel a sense of peace, a calmness just come in because the fruit is eminent or evident in their life. Jesus had some pretty strong words when it comes to the expectation of fruit growing. Okay, so if the expectation is there that fruit should be growing, that we should be producing fruit, then some aren't, and some are producing more, then we need to take a look at that, and you'll see where a lot of it comes down to what's right here between your ears. Okay, but Jesus had some pretty strong words about the expectation that the seeds that are planted in the good ground would produce some fruit. Let's start with a scripture in Matthew chapter 7. We'll start with verse 15 and read through 20. He said, "Beware of the false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, and yet inwardly they are like raging wolves, ravening wolves. He said, you shall know them by their fruits. Okay, so you can kind of tell a wolf by the fruits. Okay, these are ones that are saying it but not doing it. And he says, do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree, verse 18, cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Jesus saying that you're going to be able to tell where somebody's at, and he's going to show how things come from their heart, like we started before the service. I use that scripture, but from their fruits you're going to be able to know them. So let me ask you, does Jesus expect your life to produce fruit? Okay, obviously, he said the good seeds planted in the good ground is going to produce some 40, some 60, some 100-fold. Okay, he's expecting that, absolutely. So if you don't see a lot of fruit, what can that be attributed to? How can we, if we want to see more fruit, anybody want more? I want more. Always want more. Always want more fruit being produced through my life. So how can we influence things so that more fruit is being produced, so that it's coming to maturity, so that it's hanging there for somebody else to be able to have and to partake of? Let's look at a few more scriptures. And a little bit later in Matthew 12, verse 35, Jesus said this. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, okay, that deep stuff, brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. 36 says, but this I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Okay, so much of what we partake of in this life is set up by what's coming out of our mouth. Okay? I am never going to get this done. I'm never going to, you know, get my house clean. I'm never going to whatever. Never going to lose weight. I'm never going to get a better job. I'm never going to get out of this debt. I'm whatever. And we begin to speak it, okay? And that's what we, why do we speak it? It's first we're thinking a thought. It's coming out of our mouth. But where is it? It's down in here, in our heart. He says out of the heart is where these things stem from. It comes from deep within. It's your core. What do you believe deep down inside? Where is your faith? Okay, so in another place in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20, I think we used this scripture a couple weeks ago, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips he shall be filled. So again, having to do with what's coming out of your mouth, right? What are you speaking over yourself? What are you speaking over your situation? Okay, what are you speaking about? You know, the things that you see, are you verbalizing that? Man, this church has hardly got anybody here today. It's never going to grow. You know, I could say that. Or I could say, you know what? I'm glad that you guys are here and be grateful for what we do have and believing that God is doing a work. God will put more people in the seats. I believe that. I know that. Not that we have an empty church this morning. When it comes to things that come out of your mouth, they play a huge role in the outcome of your life. Okay, we could spend our time together then addressing that very subject. I could talk about, what are you saying? What's coming out of your mouth? What do I say? What could we say? What should we say? And we could spend the whole time focusing on that. How it's setting in motion the events of our life. But this week, I want to take it one step deeper than what's coming out of your mouth. Let's back it up to where what comes out of your mouth came from. Okay? When you verbalize something, you first had to think it. You first had to put it into your mind. It had to mull it over to get it to come out as a spoken word. So something is before it gets to your mouth. What is that? As the title of the message this morning, Captivating Your Thoughts, implies, we're going to talk about what it is that holds our attention. Okay. We're going to see what has captivated our thought life. What has captivated it? We're going to look at that word. And then what is it that is consuming the majority of our time and our energy? and see if we can steer it in a more successful or fruitful direction. How do we get those thoughts to start lining up with the Word of God so that what comes out of our mouth and what we do ends up being more along the line of God? If a Christian life is not yielding fruit, we want to look at the root cause of it. Look deeper into the thoughts of that. I want you to remember this. I'm going to give you four little things here, but here it is. Our thoughts equals our attention, which equals our words, which equals our actions. Okay? It's a process. First, our thoughts. That equals our attention. That tells us what we're focused on. What we're focused on is what we begin to verbalize, and what we verbalize is then what we begin to do or to live out or to believe or expect that that's really what's going to happen. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody that, you know, maybe you're talking to them, or maybe they're, it's just somebody sitting in a room with you, but, you know, you're looking at them and they're just staring off into space, just like in La La Land, you know, and you're just wondering, I wonder what they're thinking about. And you ask them, you know, hey, what are you thinking about? And they say, well, nothing really. You ever had that? You ever seen that? It happens a lot. Okay, what are you thinking about? Nothing really. Okay. The truth is, the reality is, that they were focused on something. They were thinking about something. Okay. To turn the mind completely off and think about absolutely nothing is tried by many but accomplished by none. Okay? It's impossible. Your mind is always contemplating, thinking, or mulling something over. It's either past events, it's future events, it's something is always going through your mind. You're playing out a scenario in your mind, you're thinking through something that happened, you're thinking how you wish something would have been different, you're planning out how you're going to get something done that will relieve anxiety or whatever it is. And so your mind is always working on something. Obviously, though, if somebody can't recall what they were thinking about, it probably wasn't anything real life-changing at that moment, right? They weren't thinking about how to, you know, bring the price of tea down in China or, you know, something. They weren't really thinking a deep thought. They weren't solving a problem, you know. They weren't working through it, you know, or they would have probably been able to recall more quickly what it is. And in order for us to live productively and we must first speak productively. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, that's that deep part. So out of the abundance of what's going on the inside. So in order for us to speak more fruit-producing or productively, we must think productive or useful thoughts. So rather than having, you know, kind of mindless time, you know, I know sometimes we need time to unwind. I don't discount that. But we, rather than thinking about things, sometimes you're just unwinding, you're really just not thinking about much, maybe thinking about something that happened that day or whatever, but other times your mind will begin to take you in a direction where you start playing out a scenario of a scene with somebody. Maybe it's somebody of the opposite sex, maybe it's somebody at work, maybe it's something that is going on, and you start running this through your mind, and pretty soon your anxiety level starts going up, it starts working up. You're not speaking anything yet. You're just thinking thoughts, and it's taking you down a road that can be very detrimental to your relationship with your spouse or with your coworker or whoever it is by running through and playing these things out in a pretty much a negative way. You know, a lot of these, what Jesus had said is for in order for us to speak productively, we need to think or produce more useful thoughts, and not just once in a while either. But actually, all of our thoughts that we think actually do something for us, okay, for the good or for the bad. Look at Matthew 12:33. Jesus said this. He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Okay, he's saying it's not going to produce some good and some bad. Either it's going to be corrupt or it's going to be good. And he's saying that there is a difference. So the thoughts that we're thinking, this is all in relation to the thoughts of a man's heart, okay, in relation to what's going on and coming through, that either it's going to be helpful for you or it's going to be kind of detrimental for you. It's going to bring good things or it's not going to bring good things. You're either thinking good and healthy thoughts, or you're thinking about stuff that is hindering, possibly hindering your growth as a Christian, maybe impeding your success at work, or maybe adding to your emotional struggles, okay, by the things that we're thinking about. You know, somebody might be sad. They might be going through a struggle with, you know, those kind of things, but they're always thinking about the bad things that happened to them. Just sitting there thinking about, you know, if things could have been different, you know, and thinking and mulling over that. I wish that wouldn't have happened, you know. And it's really not, those thoughts are not leading them in a good direction. It's really kind of bringing them down even more. It's just adding to that. Okay, someone might live in fear, you know, or have fear in their life. And so they're sitting there, and when they get a few moments, they start getting anxious because they're thinking about the what ifs. What if that, you know, that paycheck never comes? Or what if, you know, I don't get this taken care of? What if, you know, so-and-so finds out about whatever? And they start running these things, and pretty soon it's creating a negative feeling on the inside and creating problems in your life. You know, we're always going to have thoughts that go through our mind. You're always going to have something. I think some of you probably know Kenneth Hagin. He's the one that coined the term that you can't keep the birds from flying over, but you can keep them from building a nest on your head. Right? And so the idea being that you're going to have thoughts. Some of them are going to be negative thoughts. Man, something bad happened to you in your life. Okay, you're not going to forget about it. You might forgive the person. You might be moving on, but it's still there. It's still a painful spot. And so that thought is going to come through your mind, but you don't have to let it build the nest. You don't have to let it harbor down and say, oh yeah, I remember that. That was a bad thing. I really hate that. And I don't like that guy anymore. I never did like that guy. I'm not going to like him anymore. Pretty soon it stayed right there. It's building the nest in your head. Okay, and so we can't keep them from flying through because of life circumstances. Things happen, right? We've seen stuff, we've experienced stuff, and those thoughts are going to come through your mind. So rather than try to figure out how to stop it from coming in or through, you need to figure out how not to grab hold of it and let it harbor down in there, not to let it control you at that moment. So what's our solution? Okay, we're figuring out, man, our thoughts are pretty powerful. It plays a big part. What's the solution? How do we go from having maybe a few positive thoughts, a few negative thoughts, and maybe a whole lot of kind of empty, fruitless ones in between? You know, how do we go from that to focused on the right things? I didn't put this scripture in the slides, but I know that Isaiah 26:3 says that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Okay, he was talking of God, talking to God, and says, I know that you will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Okay, and it's focused on God. And there is a peace that comes with that. When we fill our head with God and his word, then we, you know, when we do have a few moments of idle time and our mind is able to relax, we're not solving a problem, but rather than letting it run off on a tangent of some sort or in some kind of a negative direction, when we have the Word of God in there, then that's what we begin to meditate on. It begins something that is rolls around in our head. We remember or recall the Word of God. You know, that word fixed, and thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That word stayed means fixed, fastened, or hooked on. You know, it means that that's what we're focused on. Our mind is stayed on God. Constantly with that reverence, constantly with that acknowledgement of him. We're going to go through our day, but we can keep that constant acknowledgement and reverence of him at the same time. I don't know what you guys think about. I preach sermons every day in my head. Every day. I think of somebody I'd like to share the gospel with or some message that comes up, and man, I'm preaching it in my head. I used to do it when, this is back before kids, I guess, but I used to do it a lot even when I was driving, and sometimes I would let it come out. And I'd let it roll out of my, you know, on my tongue, and I'd preach this sermon out. Even now I'd do a lot more in my head. You know, you just get that moment, you're laying there, you start thinking about stuff. You know, you can think about a lot of different things when you get your moments of idle time. You know, I play out conversations with people I like to share the gospel with. Occasionally, just like anybody else, somebody says or does something that was offensive, okay, or something that hurt me, or you know, I've got an issue or a problem, and I'll start playing that out a little bit in your mind. Okay, and you start thinking about, how could I solve that? Or boy, when I see them again, this is what I'd like to say. Right? You start playing it out. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's there. You know, man, if I ever see that, you know, whatever, that boss or that coworker, the next time I see them, I'm going to confront them about what they said to me. And you start running these things through. Okay, that's not always healthy to do that. But it does happen. I'm just telling you, I'm human. And sometimes you'll play out that next conversation or what you would like to see it play out as in your head. But God's word says to and instructs us to captivate our thoughts on the Lord Jesus Christ. We haven't even gotten to that scripture yet, but that's where we're going. Okay, even when Jesus was teaching on himself. He was teaching the people about having an inner peace and how not to worry and fret about stuff. He addressed the thoughts that roll around in your head. The peace or the lack of that you experience in life is directly related to what you're thinking about. Okay, it's not always what you're doing. It's not always your job's fault. It's what you think about in your mind. You think about that job or that person or that whatever. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew had a lot of good things written here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27 through 34 says this. Jesus said, "Which of you by taking thought," which of you just by thinking about it, "which of you by worrying about it, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Okay, that's King James language. A cubit was from the tip of your elbow to the tip of your finger. So which of you can add one cubit to your height? That's what that means. By worrying about it, by stressing. Oh, I wish I was taller. It's not going to help you any, right? It doesn't do anything. Okay, why take thought, verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment or for your clothes? Consider the lilies of the flowers of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed or arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and yet tomorrow is just going to be cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 31, therefore, take no thought. Don't go there. Okay? Take no thought, what saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Right? God will provide. God will take care of. God will make sure you have it. You can't make yourself taller by thinking about it. You know, you can't make yourself have clothes on by meditating about it, meditating on it. You can't put food on the table just by rolling a few thoughts around in your head and worrying about it. It's not going to make it happen. It doesn't have that ability to do that. You know, your situation at work, your relationship that you're struggling with, is not going to get better by rolling it around in your head and thinking about it. That's his point. Okay? If you just focus on it and dwell on it, man, I don't, you know, run it through our head, it's not going to make it get any better. You can't make yourself taller by worrying about it, and you can't put clothes on you by worrying about it. You can't put food on a table. You can't change your coworker by thinking about it. You can't change your circumstance just by thinking about it. He says to focus on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Focus on Jesus, okay? He's the central focal point. Focus on him and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. God is going to take care of you. The Apostle Paul even taught us that the way to walking in the Spirit of God, now if you think about walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh, according to do's and don'ts, okay, the way to walk in the Spirit of God, not being controlled by the appetites of your flesh, is to captivate your thoughts, and he's going to use the word every thought, captivate every thought, on Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:3. We finally get to this verse. This is what prompted the whole message. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh," we live in this world, right? "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Focused on who? Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Jesus Christ, his obedience. Focused on that will change some things in your life. It'll get that focus off of all the things you can't do right, did wrong, you're falling, failing at, whatever, and it gets the focus on Jesus Christ. You bring your thoughts into the obedience of Jesus, and you say, "Yes, but Jesus did it right. Jesus got it right. He lived in the obedience, perfect, sinless obedience. He lived there and did that." Okay, bringing every thought into captivity. That word captivity in the Greek is ahikmaotidzo. It's a big, long word, ahikmaotidzo, which at its root means to take prisoner by use of a spear or weapon. Okay? take prisoner by use of a weapon, by force. That means bring every thought into captivity by use of force of a weapon, every thought into the obedience of Christ. So let's get to the weapon. What do we have to use to do this stuff? Okay, literally meaning to forcibly capture and hold as prisoner, to be made to go where you want them to go. Okay, anybody ever watch Westerns? Once in a while we watch an old John Wayne or Virginian or something, and sometimes they're not even sheriffs or deputies or anything, but they got their gun on somebody and they forcibly say, "Now we're going back to town, you're going to tell the truth," right? They forcibly make them go where they want them to go. Okay, this is what we are going to do with the thoughts of our mind, is to say, "No, I'm not going down that road. I am taking back control and I am going to make you go the direction that I want you to go." You get to decide what you think. You get to decide what you're going to focus on. You can captivate your thoughts onto whatever you want to. Okay? You get the choice. We want them obviously to go in a good direction. So then instead of thinking those bad thoughts, lustful thoughts, or poor me thoughts, or what, going down whatever road, we get to say, "No, I'm going to go down this road," and be able to change what we're thinking about. We want to go in good places. Philippians 4, 7, and 8, you guys mostly have seen and heard this. He gives us a good example of what to think on. 4, 7 says, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds." Keep your what? Okay, that deep part, your desires, your minds, your will, your emotions. "It shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." So he even gives us a list of things to focus on and to think on. The absolute best way that you can think on things that are just and holy and right is to have an abundance of things that are just and holy and right in your head, which is right here. Okay? Holy, just, right, true, honest, of good report. There's all those things are in there, right? It's right here in our hands. It's in our Bible. Okay? To forcibly contain and corral and capture our thoughts, we need a weapon. We need a spear. To forcibly take captive with a spear, we need that. The Word of God says this, and well, we already read that, 2 Corinthians 10:4. I think I threw it in there again. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, so that we can cast down the imaginations, so that we can cast down or hold captive, take captive and steer in a different direction everything that was rising up against the knowledge of God. Instead of keeping us focused on God, we can use the weapons of our warfare that God has given us to steer it in a different direction, that I don't want to go that direction." You guys remember the armor of God that he talked about in Ephesians chapter 6, right? We put on our helmet of salvation. We have a breastplate of righteousness. We have our shoes of peace, our gospel, or the truth wrapped around our waist. We have a shield of faith and a what? A sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You have the Word of God. The weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, to the doing of the things that need to be done. Anything that's exalting itself against God, God's Word will put it in its place. God's Word is that weapon that says, in Jesus' name, I'm going to speak my spear and I'm going to put it in its place. You're saying I'm a loser, but God said I'm the head and not the tail. I'm not cast down. You say I'm never going to get out of this debt, but God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. You put it in its place and point it in a better direction with the spear, with the Word of God that he has given unto you. God gave it as a powerful weapon and a tool for us. Paul's advice was to cast down the imaginations and the things that were trying to exalt themselves above God, to take your thoughts captive with the Word of God. To imagine something, or the imaginations, that means we're thinking about something. You don't just have a movie or a TV show that plays in your head. Some of you watch too much TV, you might, but You know, if you have it's not like a movie that just plays out in your head. You decide what movie plays. You decide what the characters are in it. You decide what they're going to do in that. Okay? Your imagination, you're thinking this stuff through. You're putting stuff in place in there. You decide what roles are going to be played out in those scenes in your head. You imagine that conversation with your boss. You imagine that conversation with your spouse or that person that made you mad, that person you have the crush on, that person you've been lusting after, whatever it is, you decide what you're thinking about. So it's time for you to start thinking about what you're thinking about. What's going on in there? What am I thinking about? When you get a few moments and you're sitting there and, you know, pretty soon you're just realizing that you weren't saying anything, you weren't watching anything, you weren't listening to anything, you were just thinking, where does your mind go at that moment? You can point it in the right direction. You can point it with the Word of God that when it starts to go idle, it'll begin to ponder on the things of God. You'll begin to preach sermons in your head. I believe that. It's not just for pastors. I believe you'll begin to have the Word of God coming through. It'll begin, you'll see that as an alive thing to you that, man, I just want to share the gospel with people. I just want to share this love with people. I just want to, you know, minister unto people the things of Jesus and be able to share that with them. Okay, when something comes up in your life, you'll be able to recall the Word of God in a split second, just like I did a few minutes ago. You're thinking about debt, man, you're going to quote the Scripture over it. God shall supply all my needs. You're going to begin in a split second to think it and then to speak it over your situation. And you'll begin to change the direction, change the things, the way that things are going, producing more fruit now because you're not getting bogged down going down this other path. You're going down the road of righteousness with God, and He's producing fruit through you because it's His Word that you're using. It's all about Him. Okay, when that, the thing comes up in your life that begins to cause you anxiety, you can quickly quote out of 2 Timothy. It says, my God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm not afraid of what can come unto me. What can man do unto me? God is in control. We can begin to speak things over our life. We can begin to speak, like I said, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. When an overwhelming circumstance comes up, you can think it and then say it, man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. When you begin to feel alone, you can remind yourself that God is with me. He is the same God who has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So when you begin to feel separated and alone and down, now you begin to quote that scripture. I am not alone. My God is with me. He said He would never leave me nor forsake me. And you can begin to put those thoughts that the devil will try to plant. Like I said, he's going to throw stuff at you. You've been through life, right? You've been through stuff. So he's going to throw that and remind you of that time in your life. He's going to throw things in there that says, no, that's not who you are. You're this person. He's going to throw something at you. You can use the Word of God, draw your weapon, and begin to point Him in a different direction. Say, no, we're not going that direction. We're going this direction. And my God shall supply all my needs. My God is strong, my strength. Everything that I need is in Him. Absolutely, without a doubt, God has given you the solution to each and every situation that comes up in your life. It begins by taking your thoughts captive with the Word of God. Take control of them. Take it back with the Word of God that he has got. There's a pastor out, and I don't remember his name now, but he wrote a book called Praying the Word. And it's literally how to speak to any situation or circumstance that comes up by praying the Word of God over it. Because God's Word shall not return unto him void. It will accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. He said that. And so as he says that of his own word, that means that we can pray that, we can speak that over our situation, our life, and it's going to accomplish what God wanted it to accomplish. We can pray the Word of God. We can speak it. We can use the weapon of our warfare, which is not carnal, but it's mighty because it's from God, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and putting down everything that exalts itself against God. It gets us focused. It keeps our minds right where it needs to be, that we may live out the life that God has called us to be. Praise God. Father, we praise you this morning. I'm grateful for your word, Lord. I thank you that you have put it into us, Lord. You've given us in our hands, Father, everybody in here, probably owns a Bible, Lord. And I know that we have your word, your sword in our hand, Lord, to be able to steer parts of our life, things that have come up that we don't have to just put up with it, that we can learn your word, begin to read it, learn it, study it, quote it, speak it over any situation, and it is going to change. It has to, because even your word says that that will happen. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the gift that you've given us of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Word, the gift that, of Christ and all the salvation, the things that we have. And Lord, with that, we choose to go forward and utilize the gift, to utilize what you've given, to take all the things that pertain unto life and godliness that you have given us, and to go forward with that into this community, into our workplace, into our homes, into our families, every place that we go, Lord, that you will use what you have already given us, that we will allow it and use it for the benefit of the kingdom of God, for the benefit of each individual, for the benefit of our family, for this to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ, that you may be exalted above all as you already are in your own word, Father. We praise you, we thank you, and we give you all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. God's word is a powerful, powerful tool. And oftentimes it is undervalued, underused, underlooked. You know, we overlooked, I guess would be the right word. We look past it and don't think that it's going to apply to my situation, but it's there. God's got every situation covered, nothing left undone. God is all sufficient in that capacity. So begin to think about what you're thinking about.